بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 43rd session, reading from some of the commentaries related to العقيدة التحاوية بالإمام أبو جعفر أحمد ابن محمد ابن سلامة التحاوي رحمه الله. Before we look at the point that we are going to discuss tonight, the 71st point, before we look at that, we're going to go back and look at some of the matters that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 42. The first question being, mention the first part, yani the first of three parts. First part of the 70th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, which is numbered as 153 if you're reading from the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. It's numbered as 153 in the Arabic text and 152 in the English translation. The first part of the 70th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Naam. Adam.
وَلَا نُنَزِّلُ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ جَنَّةً وَلَا نَارًا.
Naam. وَلَا نُنَزِّلُ. What is the meaning of this statement, first part of the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi? Naam.
That we won't place anyone from Ahl Qibla in either paradise or fire.
Naam. We don't place anyone minhum, yani min Ahl Qibla. Yani from the Muslims. We don't place any one of them. Yani we don't assign or declare or claim that any one of them is in paradise or in the hellfire. Question number two. Why does Sheikh Salih Fawzan say we cannot testify that anyone is guaranteed paradise, no matter how righteous they are? Naam, Ali.
Because the Sheikh explains that we do not know the unseen.
Yani because we do not know the unseen. We don't know the ghaib. And we are only making a judgment or a decision or a claim based on what we see outwardly. But we don't know what's happening, yani in the heart, or what we don't see. Question number three, why does Sheikh Salih Fawzan say we cannot testify that anyone is guaranteed hellfire, no matter how sinful that person may be? No matter how sinful that person may be. Zaki.
Because in the end, we don't know if they might make tawbah and bring their prayers in court.
Now, we don't know what their ending will be. We don't know that what their life will be sealed upon. We don't know what they will die upon. That perhaps they might repent and die upon repentance. This, what we have mentioned up until here, is in reference to specific, particular individuals. This is in reference to any individual. No matter how righteous they might be or how sinful they may be, we cannot claim that anyone is in the paradise or the hellfire. Question number four, what is the exception to the above? And an example where we can testify that someone is guaranteed paradise. Two-part question, what is the exception? Yani, and what is an example of this that the Shaykh mentioned? Abdul Wali.
Unless the Messenger testified to that fact
The exception is in the case where the Prophet testifies that this person specifically, particularly, that this individual is in the paradise or the hellfire. Excuse me. Don't do that, please. You're distracting me. You understand? Okay. I don't like to talk during the lesson, but this is distracting me too much. Tayyib. This is the exception. And what is an example that the Sheikh gave of this exception? And where we can testify that somebody is in the paradise. Nasir.
Like the
10 people from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who he named and specified and identified as being guaranteed paradise. Naam. And those 10 people, who are they? Who are they? One person, tell me all of their names. 10 of them. One person. Four of them, easily. Four of them. Naam. Sharif. Naam.
Ali.
No. I mean, yes, that's, there are four, but that's not the four I intended. The first four that the Sheikh mentioned without looking at a book. Nobody needs to look at a book to answer this question. What is your name, brother?
Abdurrahim.
Yes, Abdurrahim. Khulafa al-Rashidin. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. That doesn't require looking at a book. Okay, you want to give us some more?
Abdurrahman ibn Auf.
Talha.
Al-Zubayr.
Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. That's eight. We need two more. Who wants to help him?
Abu Ubaidah
ibn al-Jarrah. Uh-huh. And?
Sa'id
ibn. Huh? Sa'id ibn Zayd. Tayyib, Jayd. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Question number five. What is the act which was the reason for the man from the Ansar being promised paradise? What was it that he identified as perhaps being that reason? I'm going to go to Shanawaz. Just so I can remember your name.
So, by the end of the night, he does not hold any ill will or any ill feeling in his heart for any other Muslim.
And he doesn't hold any ill will towards another Muslim. And the narrator of the hadith said, that's it. And that's what we are unable to do. And that's the thing that's not so easy to do. He was looking for something that perhaps I can do it. But that one there is difficult. The heart. The heart shows the importance of the heart. Yani, that is the core of the matter. What's happening in the heart. Allahu musta'an. May Allah purify our hearts. Tayyib, question number six. Can we definitively, yani, say with certainty that a certain group of people will be in paradise or the hellfire? That's a question, yes or no, and then there's explanation. Yani, explain. Adam.
Yes.
Okay, explain.
Generally.
Generally. Notice he said generally. Generally. Good. That's very, very critical to this answer. Now,
generally, the mu'mineen will be in paradise.
We can say generally that the mu'mineen, the believers, will be in paradise.
And the kuffar generally.
And the kuffar will be in the hellfire. And there's lots of evidences of such. Question number seven. Mention the second part of the 70th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, numbered as 154 in Arabic and 153. In the English translation of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. Second part of Al-Imam Tahawi's 70th statement. Ali.
We do not testify for any of them to speak of theism or hypocrisy as long as they do not outwardly demonstrate any of that.
Okay, the Ahlul Qibla, the Muslims, we don't testify, we don't accuse, we don't claim, yani, that any of them has kufr or shirk or nifaq, as long as we didn't see any of that from them. If we see it, that's a different matter. But as long as we didn't see that, we don't accuse people of kufr or shirk, or especially nifaq, because it is kind of widespread that Muslims say about somebody they don't like, he's a hypocrite, based on something that he did. They even said Obama was a hypocrite. He's not even a Muslim. That's how quick we are to call Muslims, are saying he's a hypocrite. And we call people hypocrite easy. And this is not from the Aqidah or the Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, making accusations against people of things that we didn't see from them. Question number eight. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says the asl, the standard rule, is that every Muslim is upright, yani has adala. Therefore, we are not to. Three things he mentioned that we should not do in reference to the Muslims. Adam.
No baseless suspicions. We don't spy. We don't investigate.
Okay, we don't spy. We don't investigate. And he said baseless suspicions. Yani, we don't have evil thoughts. And we don't think evil of a Muslim. We think good. We have husn al-dhan. We have good thoughts, good expectation, anticipation of Muslims. And we don't spy on them, and we don't follow behind them. If we see something, we judge accordingly. And if we don't see anything, then we have husnu adhan. And if we don't see a person doing anything evil, we think good of them. That's the asl for the Muslim. He's a Muslim, khalas, he's good. Until he shows us otherwise. And this, yani the Shaykh said, هذه قاعدة عظيمة. Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, هذه قاعدة عظيمة. This principle is a great, magnificent principle that we think good of Muslims unless they show us otherwise. Unless they show us otherwise. Then we judge according to what we see, and Allah judges according to the reality that we don't see, because Allah knows the reality. Mention the third part. Question number 9. Mention the third part of the 70th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. This is the last part of this 70th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Shaykh Salih Fawzan has it numbered in his commentary as 155, and in the English translation, 154. In English, Zaki. And we leave their private affairs. Sarairahum, yani their private affairs, we mean by... Okay, somebody else, give me another word for private. What do we mean by private affairs? Somebody, we will give somebody else a chance to... Well, what did he mean by... He said we leave their private affairs. And we mean what they do when they go to the bathroom, that's private, or in their bedroom. What do we mean by their private? Yeah, I mean, because we want to be clear. This is very important. Yeah, this is a very important part of this statement of Imam Tahawi. We leave their sarair. What do we mean by that? Naam. Okay, that which is not obvious, what we don't see, what they do, yani, privately that's unseen. What else does it mean though? Even equally or more important?
In their heart.
What's happening in their heart? That Allah only knows. What's happening in their heart? What we don't see, that's part of it, yes. But most importantly is what we can't know. Because Allah only knows what's in the hearts. We leave that to Allah. We judge according to what we see, and Allah judges according to the reality, which we don't see. Which we don't see. And the last question, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, it is not our, and it looks like it says out. Okay, so that's a typing mistake. It is not our duty to investigate people and their affairs. What is obligatory is to, what he mentioned? I see a hand back here, I don't know who it is. Oh, Sharif. Now, what is obligatory is to?
Hide the faults of the Muslims.
To have a good opinion about them, think well of them,
and to maintain the brotherhood.
Okay? Sheikh Salih Fawzan is now the Mufti of Saudi Arabia. May Allah protect and preserve him. And may Allah keep him firm. And he's from the firmest of the ulama. May Allah keep him firm, because this is a troubled time that we're living in. This advice that he's saying here, what is obligatory upon us? Is something that we need to be thinking about. It's not just that we read this and we write a question and we answer the question. This is something that we need to be acting upon. He said this is what is obligatory upon us. It's not obligatory upon us to think evil of people or to search behind them or to follow them or to spy on them. But what is obligatory is that we cover the faults of another Muslim. That's what's obligatory. Wajib alayna. It's obligatory that we have a good opinion. Husna dhan, think well of Muslims. You don't see evil, think good about them. Don't make false accusations based on nothing. And to maintain the brotherhood. And maintaining the brotherhood requires an effort. And it's not a passive thing. It's something that we have to be actively engaged in. Maintaining the brotherhood of the Muslims. And part of the maintenance of the brotherhood of Muslims is being careful what we say about people. And what we think about people. And how we treat people. How we treat people. MashaAllah. There's more that could be said, but let's go on because, you know, we do have unlimited time tonight. Yes, MashaAllah. And it's not permissible to make people laugh by lying. But we do have unlimited time tonight. And meaning we're not up against the clock. But I'm going to be respectful of the time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in spite of that. Tonight, what we're looking at is the 71st statement. Is that correct? 71?
No.
71st statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, which is numbered in Shaykh Salih Fawzan's commentary as 156. Numbered as 156. And in English translation, 155. very, very important statement of the Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And again, the matters of Aqidah, as Imam Hanif always says, and one of the things that shows the importance of Aqidah is that it affects our behavior, how we believe. If we really believe something, it will be reflected in our behavior. And if it's not reflected in our behavior, then there's something wrong with what's in our heart. And we claiming to be Ahl al-Sunnah, but we don't act upon the Sunnah. And we jump up after the prayer and run out the masjid. We don't sit and remember Allah and praise and glorify Allah. But we run away, like we're running from something distasteful. And I could mention 101 other things, but I'll just leave it at that. Yani claiming to believe something is one thing. Acting upon it is another level altogether. Acting upon it. And Imam Tawi says, وَلَا نَرَى السَّيْفِ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْفِ. Now, I should have written down, can somebody help me with the English, how they have translated the English here, because the English here is a literal translation and it's not what is intended. But somebody tell me what it says in English. Okay, so this is like a literal translation. We do not believe in fighting. Yani, the sword, the saif, is representing fighting the Muslims. That's how it's been translated by some people. In different books, maybe it's translated differently. But anyway, that's how the translation that we have been following is like that. We don't believe in fighting anyone from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam except the one that is obligatory to fight them. What is intended here is not fighting Muslims. That's true though. But what is intended here is killing Muslims. Spilling the blood of Muslims. That's what's intended here. Okay? And what are the proofs of that? Just quickly so I can dispense with this book. Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, in his commentary, here, doesn't say anything. He doesn't explain this. He just mentions a hadith. And that hadith proves what is intended by saif here. He proves what is intended by saif. Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, he says, وَلَا نَرَىٰ السَّيْفِ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ. He said, in the explanation, he didn't say anything, what it means. He just said, وَفِي الصَّحِيِّ يعني in the Sahih, the authentic hadith, reported by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim. عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَنَّهُ قَالَ لَا يَحِلُّ دَمْ إِمْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَشْحَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِإِحْدَى الثَّلَاثِ الثيب الزاني والنفس بالنفس والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. That's his only explanation. He just says there's a hadith that's sahih from the Prophet ﷺ that he said it's not lawful, لا يحل, it's not halal to spill the blood of a Muslim person. And in this narration, which is not in the narration that we're going to read from the book, he said the blood of a Muslim person who testifies that there's nothing which deserves worship except Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah. Those words are not in the book that we're going to read from the commentary of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. That's how it came though in Bukhari and Muslim. Of a Muslim person who testifies that there is nothing which deserves worship except Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah, except in three affairs. Al-Thayyib al-Zani, yani the person who has been married and consummated marriage before and commits zina, the person who kills someone else, and the person who abandons his deen and separates from the jama'ah. So, Al-Imam Ibn al-Izz in his commentary, he doesn't give any commentary. What is it meant by safe? لا نرى السيف على أحد من أمة محمد. He just says the meaning of it is in this hadith that it's not permissible to shed the blood of a Muslim person. That's what we're really talking about here. The meaning of the سيف is not fighting Muslims, it's killing a Muslim. Killing a Muslim. Not permissible. It's probably better so that the intended meaning is clear. I mean, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan also clarifies it. But I wanted to mention that because it was interesting that the Sheikh, Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, he didn't say, A, yani the meaning of a safe, A, qatl al-Muslim. He didn't say it means qatl al-Muslim. But he says, there's a hadith from the Prophet. And this is the hadith that he brings makes it clear that what we're talking about here is killing a Muslim. And it's not permissible to kill a Muslim except, yani in one of three cases. And the one who kills another person unjustly, the married person, a person who has been married and consummated a marriage, even if they're not married now, who commits zina, and the person who abandons his deen and separates from the jama'ah. In these three cases, it's permissible to spill the blood of a Muslim. I mean, by the authority, by the leader, the ruler, not by everybody in the street who saw a person committing zina, and he says, oh, you can kill him, you can spill his blood. No, it means by the authorities, of course. So, yani it's not lawful to shed the blood of a Muslim. Here I want to make a note. أَحَدٍ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ. The Ummah of Muhammad that is intended here are the Muslims, Ahlul Islam. And the Ummah of Muhammad is an expression that has two meanings. There's Ummah al-Ijaba and Ummah al-Dawa. The Ummah of Ijaba means those who Ajaba, they responded to the Prophet ﷺ's call. And Ummah al-Dawa are those who were called, who were invited to worship Allah alone. So some of the people accepted the call and some of the people didn't. Ummah al-Dawa are those people who were called, all the people in the earth. And Ummah al-Ijaba are the people who actually answered, who accepted Islam and worship Allah alone. What is intended here? Ahad min Ummati Muhammad, meaning Ummah al-Ijaba. Ummah al-Ijaba. Okay, because Ummah to Muhammad has two meanings. Those who accepted his call, and those who were called but did not accept. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and everybody else. They are also Ummah to Muhammad. Ummah al-Dawa. Alright, so we're just going to make a note on that point here. And also I want to make a note here that the person that's lawful to shed their blood doesn't mean that they went out of Islam. It doesn't mean that they're no longer a Muslim. The fact that it's lawful to shed their blood. Rather, it means that they have done something that the Sharia of Allah requires, that this is the punishment for it. Doesn't mean that this person, well, since it's lawful to shed his blood, he's no longer a Muslim. Doesn't mean that he's not a Muslim. Please keep that in mind. Okay, let's look at what Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, says. وَلَا نَرَى السَّيْفِ على أحد من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا من وجب عليه الصيف. يعني we do not view, we do not, يعني لا نرى, we don't view, we don't consider, it's not our opinion or our view that is permissible. We don't view that is permissible the killing of anyone from the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning Ummah الإجابة, except the one which is required. إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْفِ, except the one which is or who is required to be killed, and according to the Sharia. According to the Sharia. And in the hadith that, the first hadith that the Shaykh mentions, or not the first hadith, the second hadith, and one of the hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the hadith that we just read. And the hadith about, except in three cases. لَا نَرَى السَّيْفِ عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْفِ. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, لَا يَجُوز قَتْلُ الْمُسْلِمِ. The meaning of safe here is crystal clear. He starts out with explaining, doesn't mean safe, yani picking up a sword, fighting. No, it means killing a Muslim, spilling the blood of a Muslim. لَا يَجُوز, it's not permissible, قَتْلُ الْمُسْلِمِ, to kill a Muslim. وَاسْتِبَاحَةُ دَمِهِ, or declaring his blood, considering his blood to be permissible. And it's permissible to kill him. Why? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَسَمَهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Because Allah has protected him, protected his blood by Islam, by him entering Islam. What is the proof of this? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated from Abdul ibn Umar, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Shaykh says, قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله فإذا قالوها فقد عصموا مني فقد عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحقها, يعني حق الإسلام, وحسابهم على الله. Narrated by Al-Bukhari Muslim. Here I want to come back to the wording here, because it's affirmed in Bukhari and Muslim, a different wording that's more clear than what has been mentioned here. But before that, let's just look at what the Shaykh says. He says, yani, I have been commanded to fight the people, to fight. Uqatil. That's not yaqtul. Uqatil. Fighting is different from qatil. I have been commanded to fight the people until they say, or rather the correct meaning instead of hatta here means so that they will say la ilaha illallah. And in the other narration that's more clear, yani so that they will bear witness to la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah. فَإِذَا قَالُهَا So if they have said this, then indeed they have been protected from me. Yani in reference to their blood and their wealth, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا Yani حَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ Except that Islam has a right over them for some violation of Islam that yani they can be punished for. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ And the accounting is with Allah. And the accounting is with Allah. So whoever أظهر الإسلام Whoever openly displays Islam ونطق بالشهادتين And pronounces the two testimonies of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله Whoever openly displays Islam يعني they act like they're Muslim And they have pronounced the two testimonies The شهادتين Listen here ولم يظهر منه ناقد من نواقض الإسلام Condition Whoever openly displays Islam, pronounces shahadatain, and there hasn't appeared from them, there hasn't occurred from them, a naqid from the nawaqid of Islam. Yani they haven't done something from those things that nullify a person's Islam. So a person openly displays Islam and they pronounce the shahadatain, we heard them saying it. That's good, but with a very important condition. As long as they haven't done any of those things that nullify a person's Islam. So Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, we mentioned this previously, not that long ago, has written a very small essay called The Nawaqid of Islam, in which he mentioned not all, but what he considered to be the most important, the most dangerous, and the most widespread of the Nawaqid of Islam. And from amongst them he mentioned, anybody know from what amongst them he mentioned, from those 10? He mentioned... Huh? Yani indirectly, not exactly. He said that whoever believes that the judgment or the ruling or the laws other than what the Prophet ﷺ came with are better. That is from, yani ruling by the way of Allah can be fisk, or it can be zulm, or it can be kufr. That's a different discussion. We've talked about it before, not now. What else is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab? Anybody read this book, Nawaqid al-Islam? You need to read it. With his explanation by any of the well-known scholars. He mentioned also now, person making mockery of anything from the deen, any aspect of Islam, its reward, its punishments, and so on. Also he mentioned, quickly, a sihr, magic. He also mentioned that a person doesn't believe in the kufr of the Ahl Kitab, doesn't believe that the disbelievers are disbelievers. Or he thinks that their madhab is correct. Or he doubts in their kufr. This takes a person out of Islam. Also, the person who supports the kuffar against the Muslims goes out of Islam. Also, the person who turns away from Islam, al-arad, out of Islam, and he doesn't learn Islam, he doesn't practice Islam, he just claims to be a Muslim. But he doesn't do anything from Islam, he went out of Islam. And so on. He mentioned 10 matters that are very, very important for us to know, in addition to the other things that also may take a person out of Islam. So here, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says what? So whoever openly displays Islam and pronounces the shahadatain and does not, we don't see him doing any of the things that nullify a person's Islam, then his blood is haram. And he is sacred. It's haram to spill his blood, to violate this person's life. So it is not permissible, al-i'tida alayhi wa safka dammihi. It's not permissible to transgress against such a person or to spill that person's blood. Or to spill that person's blood. Naam. Okay, so in reference to this hadith, I looked at a lot of commentaries concerning this hadith, and I just want to bring a couple of beneficial points. The first part of the hadith, he says, Umirtu, and uqatil an-nas. Umirtu, I have been commanded. If the companions say, we have been commanded, or we have been prohibited, it means by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Prophet said, I have been commanded, it means he has been commanded by Allah. Because nobody commands the Prophet except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And uqatil al-nas, it means fighting in jihad so that the word of Islam will be uppermost. Fighting in jihad for the purpose of expanding your land, getting people's wealth or property? No. For one purpose and one purpose alone, to establish Islam, the worship of Allah alone in the earth. Muslims don't fight because they are violent, because they are bloodthirsty, because they love to fight and kill. A Muslim only fights to establish the worship of Allah alone in the earth. And nas here, it means the mushrikeen. Because the Ahlul Kitab have been given the opportunity to pay the jizya. And if the Muslims were uppermost in the earth, then they don't have to enter Islam. Ahlul Kitab, they can pay the jizya and be under the rule of the Muslims. What is intended here? Qatil al-Nas means the mushrikeen. They have to enter Islam. They don't get that opportunity. And then in this narration, it also says, يعني حتى يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله to bear until they bear witness that there is no God but Allah and the Prophet Messenger of Allah ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة. This is the narration came in Bukhari Muslim in 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. And they establish the prayers and they give the zakat. Establish the prayers here means that a person continuously, regularly performs the obligatory, 5 obligatory prayers with their conditions and whatever is required by them. And giving the zakat means the obligatory zakat, giving it to those who are entitled to it, as Allah mentions in Surah At-Tawbah. In the 9th surah, and I think it's the 60th ayat, Allah mentions the categories of people who are entitled to zakat. Not just, it's my money, I give it to whoever I want to. Allah decides who it is to be given to. Also, the right of Islam, إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ, yani it's not permissible to shed their blood, they are protected. Except حَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ means that they have done something which the Islamic law necessitates that they be called to account for it. Like the person who kills somebody, there's qisas. And like the person who commits yani certain acts, drinking, stealing, whatever, there's had, there's hudud from the hudud of Allah. Yani that, except that the person has done something which the Islamic law requires that they be called to account for it. Otherwise, their blood is sacred and it should not be spilled. And also, it is said that حِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, it means سَرَائِرِهِمْ. And we just talked about سَرَائِرِهِمْ, right? Their private affairs means what? Any of the things that we don't see, that we don't know, especially the matters of the heart. He said that حِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ means the things that we don't know about. Allah is the one who judges the reality of that person. We can't judge that person because Allah is the only one who knows their affair. Some of the scholars said, so whoever is sincere in their iman, and their claim to iman, they will be rewarded with the people who are the mukhlisin, people of sincerity. And whoever is not sincere, then in this world, the rulings of Muslims will be applied to them. And we will treat them like a Muslim. But in Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will be punished. And they will be, yani, punished according to the reality that Allah knows in heart. And this is what is meant by that we yani accept from them what they openly show. And we don't yani second guess and imagine and just make false accusations. Person shows Islam, we accept it. But as far as what's inside, hidden, then Allah is the one who will deal with that. The last thing that I want to mention concerning this hadith is Shaykh Abdul Mahsin al-Abad, Hafidhullah, in his commentary on the 50 hadith, he says, حِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. This is important. حِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. مَنْ أَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَتَى بِالشَّهَادَتَيْنِ فَإِنُّهُ يُعْصَمْ مَالُهُ وَدَمُهُ. And whoever openly displays Islam and pronounces the shahadatain, and we're going to add what we mentioned earlier, right, that he doesn't do any of the things that nullify Islam, he said, then his wealth and his blood is protected. فَإِنْ كَانَ صَادِقًا ظَاهِرٌ وَبَاطِنًا نَفَعَهُ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. So if he is truthful, yani in his open display of Islam and inwardly in the heart, this will benefit him with Allah. And if he is not, yani if what is inside is contrary to what he's showing, yani what he's showing is from hypocrisy, he's just showing Islam as a hypocrite, then he will be from the people who will be in the lowest place in the hellfire. Sheikh Abdul Masih al-Abbas says, the command to fight the people until they testify to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and establish the prayers and the zakat. He said, this is so that we will achieve, we will reach, we will obtain the level where the people will, and he fighting them until they enter into Islam. And until they testify to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and establish the prayer and the zakat. And then he said, the confirmation of the hisab, wa hisabuhum ala Allah, is a confirmation that there will be accountability for deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we will be accountable for our deeds, even though we might be getting away with it today. And a person has to be afraid of this reality. And it has to be in the forefront of our mind, al-hisab, that Allah will call us to account. The angels are recording, and Allah knows everything, and we will be called to account. A person has to be afraid of this. And in the reality of the belief in hisab, it has to be internalized and actualized in our lives that affect our behavior. And we actually be thinking, this is going to be recorded. I'm going to be called to account for this. Be careful. Don't take the matter lightly. This is very, very serious. The Shaykh, he says also that whoever openly displays Islam, we accept it from him. And we leave his internal affairs, not to our guessing and assumptions, we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also said in this hadith is a proof that the shahadatain, the two testimonies, are inseparable. And both of them must come together. La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. They're inseparable. And this hadith is also a proof of the magnificence and the importance of salat and zakat. And salat is the right over the body, the physical right. And zakat is the right over one's wealth, financial rights. Naam. Those are some of the points that some of the scholars mentioned here that I thought was important for us to stop on for a moment. After that, the Shaykh mentions another hadith. Qala alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim as well. And this hadith shows us the magnitude of the hurmah, of the sanctity, of the sacredness of the life of a Muslim. Even though, and I'm not going to mention any detail, even though we just heard 3 weeks ago on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, a Muslim killed another Muslim. A practicing Muslim killed another practicing Muslim. The young people especially, I don't know if old people are on social media. Probably they are, I don't know. Young people definitely. How can you be on social media arguing and debating and calling people names to the extent that if you see the other person, you want to kill them? A Muslim. How is that possible? Wallah, I don't understand it. After the class, if somebody can give me some idea what this means, what is happening here? What is happening with Muslims who's going to the masjid praying in Jama'ah, and he has some problem with another Muslim to the extent that if I see that, whatever he called him, I will kill him. And if they see each other, then he kills them. Wallahi, this is unbelievable. To me, it's unbelievable. But we just witnessed it. And in some places, unfortunately, like this city, Muslims are killing Muslims. All the time. Killing anybody, unjustly, unlawfully, without any right in Islam, is horrible. Killing a Muslim is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the punishment from Allah is severe. Is severe. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ دِمَاعَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَادَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ. Verily, certainly, surely, definitely, no doubt, your blood and your wealth and your honor amongst yourselves is haram. It's forbidden. Yani, to violate a person's blood, their life, or their wealth, or their honor. Kahurmati, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described how sacred it is. He said, Kahurmati yawmikum hadha. Just like the sacredness of this day of yours. Wa shahrikum hadha. And the sacredness of this month of yours. وَبَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا and this land of yours. قَالَ هَذَا فِي قُطْبَتِهِ بِمِنَى يَوْمَ النَّهْرِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said this in his khutbah on Hajj. Yani in Mina, in the khutbah on Yawm al-Nahr, on the day of Eid, Yawm al-Nahr, day of sacrifice. So that means, fi yawmikum hadha means the day of sacrifice. How sacred is it? Wa fi shahrikum hadha means the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Wa fi baladikum hadha means balad al-haram. The life of the Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, their blood and their wealth and their honor is sacred, like the sacredness of this day and this month and this land. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Then the Shaykh, he says, هَلْ هُنَاكَ أَشَدُّ مِنْ هَذَا? Yani, is there any sacredness greater than this? The sacredness of what? The blood of a Muslim, the life of a Muslim. Wallahi, this is very serious. I think that if you knew that another Muslim was going to harm a Muslim, I think you should feel the obligation to intercede. And I remember I got a call, I was overseas. And I'll just make this story very short, even though it's a longer story. I got a call overseas about this city. Some brothers that I know in New York from Dar al-Islam said that the brothers from Dar al-Islam in Philadelphia, Masjid Mujahideen, they said they're getting ready to go to war. Abu Muslim is coming to Philadelphia and they're not going to allow anybody to come in our territory. I don't know if you can understand this. This happened a few years ago. I told them, tell your brothers in Philadelphia, they have nothing to do with this. Are they going to kill another Muslim? And I heard from brothers who were there on that day, who had their guns and they were ready to kill each other. Alhamdulillah, nobody got killed. This is extremely dangerous. What is happening in our brains? What is wrong with our hearts that is so easy to kill another Muslim? And I'm not going to tell you any story here, but two Muslims were killed and a school was named after them, Madrasa Shahidain, the school of the two martyrs. They were killed in a masjid where the two imams of the two communities had some beef. And they were in the office trying to reconcile, and their security was outside of the office, got into an argument, and they started shooting two Muslims in the masjid, murdered, in New York City, in Brooklyn. Masjid Yassin. This is in my lifetime. How do we kill Muslims? The Sheikh said, "Wa hal hunaka ashaddu min hadha?" And can there be any greater degree or magnitude of sacredness of the life of a Muslim? فَهُرْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ هُرْمَةِ الْكَعْبَةِ. And the sacredness of the believer with Allah in front of Allah is greater than the sacredness of the Kaaba. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمَّا نَظَرَ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ قَالَ مَا أَشَدُّ حُرْمَتَكَ. Yani, this is because the Prophet, yani, that's how the Shaykh mentions it, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he looked at the Kaaba, he said, oh, how great, how magnificent, or how much is your sacredness? And the sacredness of the Muslim is greater with Allah than your sacredness, yani the sacredness of the Kaaba. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Sheikh said, or as it was, however the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, in the footnote he says, وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمْرَى. Yani that this narration of looking at the Kaaba and making this statement is confirmed as being an incident that happened with Abdullah ibn Umar, not with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Abdullah ibn Umar. فَهُوَ مَوْقُوف عَلَيْهِ. So it's mawquf, yani it's a statement, it's an action, it's a narration that stops at Abdullah ibn Umar. It's not marfu'un to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although, not the incident, but the saying of the sacredness of the mu'min over the Kaaba is from the Prophet. There's any narrations that are like that, but not this incident here. This is from the yani incident that's narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar. It's mawquf, as it's narrated by At-Tirmidhi, who said that hadha hadith hasan gharib. Yani that it's an acceptable hadith, even though it's gharib. Yani, and the meaning, technical meaning of that means that it's yani a hadith that came from one chain. But what's important here is that the sacredness of the believer is greater than the sacredness of the Kaaba. Shaykh says, وَجَاءَ عَنْهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And it also has come from him, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Yani this narration is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. And it is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it's recorded by Bukhari and Muslim. لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث الثيب الزاني والنفس بالنفس وتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة. We mentioned this narration a little bit earlier. Yani that is not permissible. The blood of a Muslim person. And we said, we mentioned this hadith earlier, that it also contained the words امرئ مؤمن مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله. That's how it came in Bukhari and in Muslim. Yani that the blood of a Muslim person who bears witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that the Prophet ﷺ said, and that I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blood is لا يحل, it's not halal, it's not lawful, except in one of three cases. The ثيب الزاني, and the Shaykh explains what that means, والنفس بالنفس, and he explains that as well, and التارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة, the one who abandons his deen and separates from the jama'ah, from the community. The Shaykh explains each of these three things. The first one, he says, الثيب الزاني. And in most of the narrations it came as the second one. But in any case, it doesn't matter. These three things are mentioned. First one, he says, الثيب الزاني هو المحصن الذي سبق أن وطع زوجته في نكاح صحيح وهما عاقلان بالغان حران فإذا زنى رجم حتى الموت. يعني الثيب الزاني. And how is it translated? First one, somebody got an English translation? Yeah. No, just read. What is the first one? What did he say?
Non-virgin fornicator.
Okay, that's pretty correct. Non-virgin means that the person who commits zina, who has been married before and consummated the marriage, as the Shaykh explains here, as not as some people imagine, the married person who commits zina. No. Doesn't matter, person is married or not married. Person has been married previously, consummated the marriage lawfully. This is what is meant by muhsin, yani al-thayyib. Yani the muhsin, the Shaykh says al-muhsin. Yani al-thayyib al-zani huwa al-muhsan. The person who, alladhi sabaka an wata'a zawjatuhu. Somebody who previously, at some point in life, even if they ain't married now, had sexual relations with his spouse. في نكاح صحيح, in a lawful legitimate marriage, not outside of marriage, in a lawful nikah صحيح, يعني a nikah of marriage that was legitimate, lawful in Islam, correct, valid. وهما عاقلان, and both of them are sane, and both of them are sane. بالغان, and both of them have reached the age of responsibility, and both of them are free, not a slave. Okay, this is how Shaykh Saleh Fawzan explained, the thayyib al-zani, the person who commits zina, who is thayyib, the muhsan, the one who previously had sexual relations with their wife, who they were married to, in a valid, legitimate marriage in Islam. And both of them were sane. And both of them were of the age of responsibility. And both of them were free. فَإِذَا زَنَى. So if this person commits zina, he will be stoned until he dies. Stoned, yani رُجِمَ بِالْحِجَارَ. He will be hit with stones until he dies. The second one, al-Muslim إِذَا تَعَدَّى عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. Yani meaning, the second one is what? And nafs bin nafs, yani the person who kills another person. He says, the Muslim, إِذَا تَعَدَّ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ, who transgresses against a Muslim. And there's a lot of discussion about a Muslim who kills a non-Muslim. That's a different matter altogether. Here we're talking about what? The Muslim who kills a Muslim. Nafs bin nafs, here what is intended is a Muslim who kills a Muslim. As far as killing somebody else, that's a different matter. فَقَتَلَهُ ظُلْمًا وَعُدْوَانًا. He kills that person unjustly, transgressing, violating his rights. And the awliya al-maqtul, the family of the person who was killed, request requests, requires from the government, from the ruler, qisas. Requests qisas from the ruler. Yani that person be killed for their family member who he killed. In this case, this person should be killed. This person should be killed. The Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 178th ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, people of Iman, kutiba alaykum al-qisas. That al-qisas, kutiba alaykum al-qisas. And it has been written, it has been ordained, it has been made obligatory upon you, fil qatla, in killing. Qisas, retaliation for the person who was killed, is prescribed. Kutiba, the Shaykh says, A furida alaykum. Qutiba means furida. It's made obligatory that there be qisas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 45th ayat, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ. And we have made obligatory upon them in it, yani in the Torah, yani the people of the book. We have written for them, yani ordained, prescribed, made obligatory upon them in it, in their book, and the nafsa bin nafsi. Yani that a person who kills somebody should be killed. And the third one, yani at-tariku li-dinihi, al-mufariku lil-jama'ati, the one who left his deen and who separated himself from the community, from the Muslims. The Shaykh said, and by the way, this hadith came in Bukhari. In a narration in Bukhari, the wording is Al-Mariqu min ad-Din. Al-Mariqu with Qaf. Al-Mariqu min ad-Din. At-Tariqu lil-Jama'ati. Al-Mariqu min ad-Din is the apostate, the person who abandoned Islam. Wat-Tariqu lil-Jama'ati, the one who left the community, the Muslims. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says, Huwa al-Murtad. Yani what is intended here? The person who abandoned his deen and who leaves the community? What is intended here is the Murtad, the apostate. Person who was a Muslim. And then he became a kafir after his Islam. Apostate is the person who was a Muslim. Not every kafir, we don't call a kafir a Murtad. Person who was a Muslim, who now became a kafir. Shaykh says, what is intended here is al-murtad. فَيُقْتَلْ حَدْ الرِّدَّ. So he is to be killed as a had, a prescribed punishment in the Sharia for the person who abandons Islam after being a Muslim. وَمَا عَدَى الثَّلَاثَ فَدَمُّ الْمُسْلِمْ مُحَرَّمْ حُرْمَةَ عَظِيمَةً. So other than these three, the blood of the Muslim is muharram. It's forbidden to shed his blood, to spill his blood, to kill a Muslim. And this prohibition is a hurma azima. Yani it is a prohibition that is yani severe, a great severe prohibition. Quora? Like 15 minutes? Huh? No. Zakallah khair. No, we're good. We're good, mashallah. Then the Shaykh closes. Alhamdulillah, he closes. He says, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ الْبَغْيُ. Yani, now he's adding to yani what he said before about the what came in the hadith, three people who's of the Muslims whose blood is lawfully can be lawfully shed. He says, well, similarly and likewise, the one who transgress yani against the Muslims, yani in bagha ala al-muslimin, likewise the person who transgress against the Muslims, walau kana musliman, even if he was the one, the transgressor, even if he is a Muslim, al-bughat يُقَاتَلُونَ. Yani those who transgress against the Muslims, who fight against the Muslims and try to cause harm to the Muslims, then they should be fought against. Yani the leader, the ruler of the Muslims must recruit the people to fight against them. لِأَنَّهُمْ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا كَلِمَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَيَخْرُجُوا عَلَىٰ إِمَامِهِمْ فَيَجِبُوا قِتَالُهُمْ. Yani they must be fought against because what they intend is to yufarrik kalimat al-Muslimin, to separate the word of the Muslims, yani the unity of the Muslims. And to go out against, to revolt against the Imam of the Muslims. So it is obligatory to fight them. Kitaluhum, to fight them. It's obligatory to fight them. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, Hujurat 49:9, wa in ta'ifatani min al-mu'minina iqtatalu. Yani if or when two parties from amongst the believers fight, iqtatalu, fa aslihu baynahuma, then reconcile between them. Try to make up between them, to make peace between them. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. But if one of them insists on transgressing against the other, continues the fighting, and refuses to reconcile, فَقَاتِلُ الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى يَفِي إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Then fight against the one who continues to transgress until he returns to yani the command of Allah, until he desists in fighting. Fight him. So their blood, yani those who transgress the Muslims, their blood is yani made lawful من أجل كفهم عن البغي والصيانة ولصيانة جماعة المسلمين وكلمتهم وحفظ الأمن. Yani the reason why it's permissible to fight them and to kill them is in order to restrain them from transgressing against the Muslims, and in order to protect and to maintain the unity of the Muslims, the Jama'at al-Muslimin, to keep the Muslims together and to keep to maintain the unity and to preserve safety and security amongst the Muslims. وَكَذَلِكَ, the Shaykh also adds, and likewise, similarly, the blood of the قَطَّاع al-Tariq, yani those who cut off the roads, the safe passage of people in traveling. Yani highway robbers. Yani who attack the people as they travel through the land. It's also permissible to shed their blood. And the Shaykh mentions here, from Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 33rd Ayah. And this ayah actually requires some tafsir, but yani, I looked at the tafsir, but I didn't copy it because I knew we wouldn't have time. But anyway, you have to go back and check the tafsir. He says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ. Yani, indeed, verily, the reward, the recompense of those who make war, who openly make war against Allah and His Messenger. How? وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا. Yani those who go to the earth, making corruption in the land. أَن يُقَتَّلُوا, then they should be killed. أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا, or they should be hung up on the cross. What do they call it? Crucified. Crucified. أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ, or their hands and their feet should be cut off from opposite sides. Yani right hand, left foot, and so on. أَوْ يُنْفَوْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, or they should be banished in the earth. Yani exiled, kicked out of the land of the Muslims. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, فَجَزَاؤُهُمْ عَلَى حَسْبْ جَرَائِمُهِمْ. So their yani punishment is in accordance with their crimes. Their punishment is in accordance with their crimes. So some of the scholars, like Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, says, the meaning of this ayat, yani the scholars differed about the meaning of this ayat. Some said that the ruler has choice, yani he can choose any one of these punishments as he sees fit for the people who commit this kind of crime. That he can choose, yani to cut off their hands and feet on opposite sides, or to crucify them, or to banish them, yani whatever he decides. And some of the scholars said no, yani that there's certain kind of punishment for a certain type of crime. And this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas and others who hold that opinion, but they don't agree necessarily on which punishment is for which type of crime. Ibn Abbas said, according to Sheikh Asadi, he said that if they kill the people and they also take their wealth, then they should be killed and crucified. If they only take the people's wealth, then their hands and feet should be cut off on opposite sides. If they don't take the people's wealth, but they kill people, then they should be killed. And if they don't kill people or take their wealth, then they should be banished. And if they and make it dangerous for people to travel, they just put fear into the people. People are scared to travel. Then they should be banished from the land. And these are two opinions, that the imam, the leader of the Muslims, has a choice between any of these punishments, or there's a particular type of punishment according to the crime. And that seems to be the suggestion that Sheikh is saying here. Their punishment is according with their crime, according with their crimes. فَهَوْلَاهِ أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ قَتْلَهُمْ. Allah has made it lawful to kill them. لِدَفْعِ شَرِّهِمْ وَعُدْوَانِهِمْ. In order to repulse their evil and their transgressing the limits. It's 1 hour. Tayyib. So alhamdulillah, we said we're going to try to, and even though we have unlimited time, we're going to try to stick to the hour. My class is normally an hour and 10 or 15 minutes. But of course now, when it was between Maghrib and Isha, we had no choice. We have to just stop. Get 45 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever. Alhamdulillah, Allah is generous. I just want to make a couple of quick points here. One point, yani, that Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafizullah, mentions in his explanation of the 50 hadith. And he mentions lots of good points. But one point that I want to say is he said that Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, Al-Hanbali, Rahimahullah, in his explanation of the 50 hadith, and this hadith here, yani, the three people who was lawful to shed their blood amongst the Muslims, he said he mentioned others from amongst the Muslims, other than what's mentioned in this hadith, that it's also permissible to shed their blood. And from amongst them he mentioned the person who commits al-liwat, homosexuality. And from amongst them he mentions the sahir, the person who does actual real magic. You know, not trickery, flipping your hands or flipping cards or trickery. And from amongst them he mentioned the one who commits a sexual act with an animal. And from amongst them he mentioned the one who abandons salat, which we have mentioned in the past. And from amongst them he mentioned the person who drinks alcohol on the fourth time. And they were punished once, twice, three times, four times. And from amongst them, the sariq, the thief, on the fifth time. They were punished once, twice, three, four, fifth time. And from amongst them, he mentions the khalifa, two khalifas who were given bay'ah. The last one who took the bay'ah after there's only a khalifa who's been given bay'ah, the last one should be killed. But you can't have two khalifas. What a mess we're living in today. And he also mentioned the spy, the Muslim spy, who spies on the Muslims for the kafirs. In any case, he mentioned some other points too, but then he will suffice with this, because we are at the time limit, and that's sufficient. Wallahu musta'an. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah, out of His generosity and kindness, that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds. And that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, that we be steadfast upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him. Because yani, deeds will be judged by what? Al-Khawateem, what we end upon. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant speedy and quick, complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, to make their graves spacious and to fill their graves with light, and to admit them into His Jannah, and to protect them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah to grant relief to the Muslims in Gaza and in Palestine generally, and Yemen and Sudan and Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and China and Burma and India and in every place, wherever the Muslims are, may Allah grant relief to the Muslims. Indeed, Allah alone is the one from whom we seek help. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.